This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Send me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. This is coming to you from the Valley of the Sun, the land of triple-digit weather. And hope you're enjoying your summer. And last week we talked with Shannon Kay, and we talk a lot about porn addiction or pornography and among Christians in the church and sexual sin of every kind in this program. Fairs, promiscuity, strip clubs, massage parlors, because the epidemic of porn and sexual sin is continuing to blow up in the church. It is not getting smaller, it is getting bigger, which adds to the almost desperate need to open this thing wide up in every single church and talk openly about it, including the damage it does and inflicts on the wife and the kids and the family, not just the man. And it destroys the man, it destroys and hollows out and corrupts his character. So last week, Shannon shared how earlier in their marriage, her then fiancé confessed to a porn addiction with the pastor, and the pastor basically said, well, once you guys can have sex, it's going to fix his porn problem, which is, first off, it's a joke, because you can't fix a sin or a lust problem with having sex in marriage. That's not going to resolve that. And then she said how, as she went along, she heard counsel from others in the church that, hey, porn is normal among men, and oh well, and not a big deal, and you just need to be there and forgive and make sure you're not sinning. So all this goes along with what I've been mentioning, that this is really spiritual abuse, and it is not rare. It's not rare by any means. It's common, and we hear this all the time. We also hear things like the wife is told, well, if you just gave him more sex, then he would be okay, or if you just submit to him, no matter what's going on, that's what it says to God, do in God's word. So it's very damaging to the wife's heart. You're basically telling her heart does not matter. So this week we welcome Shannon back to the program, and Shannon, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
So we'll pick up your story where we left off, right after you met with the counselor who had confronted your husband and told him that he wasn't ready.
Yeah, and I'm trying to be my husband's cheerleader, trying to be his sister in Christ. I was actually very wounded as a wife, so there was a long period of time that I was thinking, well, if I heard any of this information from another brother, I wouldn't be so deeply wounded. So maybe if I just treat my husband like a brother, I can continue to move forward and encourage him, even though my inner self was deeply hurt. And so I'm sorry, I might get emotional as I try to
That's okay.
say some of this stuff. But so I'm trying to continue to put my own self aside and still love him and do what I can. So I found out about this 10-day retreat that was there in the Colorado Springs area that we went to. It was very scary for me because I had to leave my children with people I didn't even know. I've been moving around with him in the military, following him, not having any support myself. It's can be quite isolating for the woman. And so you just go into new situations hoping you're going to find people that you can trust just simply by the shared faith or belief in God. And so I left my babies for 10 days and went on this sex addiction retreat with my husband. I don't know what stuck with him, if anything did, because he just would go again, like I said, through these cycles of once he's caught, then he does whatever he can to act repentant and show this repentance. And and if there's any advice I would give to women out there that are married to sex addicts, I know as much as you love them and you do want to help them, they won't change unless they want to. And it's very hard to accept that. And maybe there's some sort of pride in us as wives that we think, oh, well, I can love him through this. I can help him. And we want to. And I think that that is essentially part of our role as a spouse, is to be a cheerleader, to be a friend. But essentially, when it comes down to it, they have to decide that they want to change. And if they won't, nothing you can do about it. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wait, what is that advice? Mm-hmm. Other than it's not, I don't know that it's personal. I don't think it's personal. We just have to do what we can.
That's right on the money.
Healthy.
Yeah.
Right before we are getting ready to make our next move, I found a business card in his car for a massage parlor, and I just had reached my end at that point. I had been trying to talk to pastors and everything, as I mentioned in the last, you know, going to SA groups. And actually, I think that he would take the time that he was supposed to be going to a sex addiction anonymous group or whatever, to frequent other adult bookstores or strip clubs in the other part of the city. Was like, so anyways, I don't think it was effective at all. I didn't want to move with him to North Dakota whatsoever, but this is when clear psychological abuse came in. I mean, there's day-to-day stuff that shows you disregard. People will sometimes say, oh, he just has an addiction to pornography. And I hate it when people say that, because there's so much attitude that comes along with it. It's such a selfish thing. And there's so many other attitudes and behaviors on a daily basis that goes with somebody that's so self-centered in not opening the door, not having just regular manners. It's anyway. So when I found the massage parlor card, I just knew I just couldn't do it. I had already been trying so many things with him, and I just didn't want to move. I didn't want to go with him anymore. Oh, and this is where the psychological abuse came in. When I told him that I didn't want to move with him to North Dakota, he started in on, you gave up your education, you stopped going to college, so you don't have any way to support yourself. Your parents won't take you back, which is true. They had told me that I had decided to get married, and so I had to figure it out. And even my mother was one of those that had said, well, everybody struggles, or all guys go through that. So she was also kind of like, whatever. And my husband told me that he was the one with the steady job, and so that I would lose the kids. He would take me to court, and I would lose the kids because he was the stable one. I don't remember if he said this exactly, but I kind of got this idea of you're going to end up endless without any, or you're going to end up homeless without anyone. But I can't say that he said that precisely, but that's the feeling I got. And that worked. He played that card on me, and my kids are my world, and I didn't want to end up without a job and not able to support myself and ending up without my kids because of that. So I went with him feeling so trapped, feeling so hopeless, like I just don't even know what to do. And I know that there have been times in my life that I have felt suicidal, like what's the point? But I would never do that because I love my kids too much. But there were times that in desperation I felt that so deeply depressed and not knowing what to do. And that's actually not my personality. I'm actually a very cheery, happy-go-lucky type of person. But that's how heavy this has been in my life, how much it has weighed me down. So I ended up going to North Dakota with him. It was only a week that I found stuff on the internet again. And I was like, no. So I piled my kids in the car and I just started driving east to a friend that lived in a state, several states over. And she had walked with me through some of it. And so I spent a couple weeks out east, and then the pastor of the church we had gone to a couple times because we hadn't been there very long, the pastor called me and he's like, will you please come home? And I said, no, I'm not coming home to that. I'm not doing that anymore. And he said, don't come home for him. Please come home for me. I want to take you to this place. So I was actually kind of shocked because for the first time, somebody's actually willing to get in the trenches with us. I felt like almost up until that point, whether it was people didn't know us well enough or people are just scared of the topic or they don't, I mean, it's uncomfortable to talk about. Who wants to talk about sex addiction? Like, it makes people uncomfortable. So I was just happy that somebody was willing to get there with me. So I went back, and this pastor, Pastor Carl, took his time off work, and we left our kids with his wife, pastor's wife. Hope that's going to be safe. And he drove us out to Freedom in Christ Ministries in Minnesota, and that was a good ministry. They're praying for spiritual release for the bondage, spiritual bondage. And for me, it was a definite turning point and a moment of release, because up until that point, I had felt so obsessive, compulsive about finding out, catching my husband, whether it was him at the strip club or all the things he was looking at on the computer, which I have to say has also been extremely damaging to me, finding all the nasty language. My husband was pretending to be a woman so he could get lesbian pictures together, whatever, women together. And the things that I saw were so, just made me feel gross inside as a woman. So not what I knew God created marriage and sex to be. And I don't even like saying sex, because really it's supposed to be this making love, this adoration of God, this thankfulness to God, this worship to God, this act of love making is supposed be beautiful before the Lord, a sign of gratitude for what he's given us. And I lost myself again. For me, going through this, I was able to lay down this need to catch him, this need to find him out, this need to immerse myself in the grossness and the nastiness. And at that time, while we were there at Freedom in Christ Ministries, I am saying to my husband, whatever the case, whatever's going on, you have to commit to me that you will no longer lie to me. I cannot be your friend. I cannot walk by your side if you are shutting me out and creating distance by lying. There's no relationship there when you're lying to me. There is no connection. You are saying no to me when you lie to me. You are disregarding me. You are treating me like an enemy when you lie to me. And he agreed, of course, that he wouldn't lie. And he agreed with the concept. He seemed to have understanding of the concept. So from that point forward, I was free. I was free from what I felt my duty had been up until that point. And that was helpful. But I don't think whatever the process was that he went through didn't work. I think there was something about, well, anyway, I don't know. I'm not going to go there. So I am okay moving forward. And daily I would ask him things like, have you had any struggles? Are you doing okay? And coming alongside of him as I knew or thought I could do as a friend. But it didn't work because as he's already been in the cycle, it just continued. And he learned to hide better. Maybe I shouldn't give details about the different things he's done. I don't want to give anybody any ideas that they haven't tried if they're still in the middle of their addictions and trying to get free. But, And 5 years after Freedom in Christ Ministries, and I'm thinking things are going fine, we decided to have 2 more children with understanding that the sin was no longer there. There was lots and lots of discussion and lots of me probing him and making sure his heart was in the right place. And sometimes I can get caught up in being disappointed in myself that my intuition wasn't better, that that I was lied to, that I bought into his lies so easily, and that's not mine to carry. We can only do the best that we can do, and I think that loving somebody is trying to believe the best. And so anyway, he was lying to me at that time, but we decided to have 2 more kids, and I am not ungrateful for that. I love my children. I love them to pieces. The only thing that makes it hard for me is that these children have had to go through this hardship because this addiction does affect. It affects me. It, let's say, for example, just being out on the 4th of July at parades and whatever, seeing my husband checking out other women, it instantly creates this sorrow inside of me. And kids are tuned in to their parents. They sense, okay, mom's upset now. Why is mom upset? Why is she ruining this good time that we were out here having a fun time on the 4th of July? And now she's sad or she's maybe short with dad or these types of things. But and the kids are in the home. They feel things. They pick up on things. Mm. They understand. And I think it's my great sorrow that they haven't been in a healthy environment. And then it's hard as a woman in this addiction environment not to shut down. She has to fight her own self-image or self-doubt. She she has to fight the depression, which often comes. I would say probably most women are affected by this, mm-hmm. whether it's the actual looking or other personality that comes out in them, whatever it is that affects them. It just
So, Shannon, with the time we have remaining, I'll need to fast forward a little bit. So basically, after 30 years of marriage, it ended. Is that right?
We have been separated for 2 years. And I've been asked that question, why did you not divorce him a long time ago? I actually have all my divorce papers filled out, and I met with attorneys and that type of thing. And that question is so personal to whoever is walking in the situation. And no, he's been out of the house for 2 years. He went to a live-in treatment facility for almost a year. And it's going to take a lot for me to actually be able to trust him again. And even since he's been back from that live-in situation, he's still been going through that cycle of lying. And this last time, I didn't have to catch him, and he was very happy about that. He confessed to me, but without me prompting him or finding anything out. But it's going to, I don't know. I don't know that we'll ever be together again. I've felt at peace for the last 2 years. I've done a lot of growing. I've been part of support groups with Christian women. And it's amazing how many women are going through this. And there was one time, randomly at a women's retreat in Colorado, that I opened up and just said, with some ladies at lunch, I was like, yeah, I'm having a really hard time. My husband struggles with sex addiction, and it really affects me. And every single woman around that table ended up sharing, me too, mine too. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you opened up and shared, but me also. Like, this is happening in our marriage too. And I was blown away by that. So I would encourage women to be honest with their stories and don't hold it inside yourself. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't struggle alone. It's a lonely, lonely road. Open up, share, get together with other women, find support groups. They're out there.
So we're coming down. We're in the last minute now, Shannon. And that really hits hard when you say that every woman around the table is going through the same thing in her marriage. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, why aren't we taking this problem urgently in the church?
Oh, it's so huge. Yeah.
And I'm really grateful for your honesty in what has been a very painful road. So 45 seconds, open mic, whatever you want to say.
Well, I would say that I've stayed plugged in to the church. The church has not been perfect. I've had a lot of judgmental things. I've had some people hug me and love me. Don't be surprised when people are uncomfortable learning to open up, but stay plugged in. Stay talking to God. Keep searching until you find your people that you can talk to. They're out there, and there are churches that can love on you. So keep looking until you find the right one, and stay in the Word. Stay close to God. Mm-hmm. He doesn't change. He won't fail you. People will. Man will. But God will not. He's a big God.
That's well said. And there are people and ministries who you can talk to. And so it's not... It's not that we're trying to bash, it's just we're trying to expose the truth and say, hey, there's room for growth here. And Shannon, you paid a big price, and I really appreciate you've earned the right to share everything you've said this week and last week. So I affirm everything you've said, and you've pushed through and persevered through a lot. And so thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Blessings.
Thank you, my friends, and we'll talk to you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.